Hi, and welcome to What's Happening, Behind the Scenes with Trauma Recovery HAP. I'm Carol Martin, host of this podcast and Executive Director of Trauma Recovery, EMDR Humanitarian Assistance Programs. I'm thrilled to bring you inside the amazing community of HAP to share our history of bringing trauma healing to those in need throughout the world, and to tell the stories of real impact our organization makes every day. Today, we are joined by Sharon Steckler, a licensed clinical social worker with over 20 years' experience as a psychotherapist. Sharon is an EMDR certified therapist and consultant. She's also the owner and director of Mind's Eye Psychotherapy, a private psychotherapy group practice in Chicago, specializing in the treatment of trauma-related disorders. Additionally, and relevant to our conversation today, Sharon serves as the coordinator of our Greater Chicago Trauma Recovery Network. The Trauma Recovery Network, or TRN for short, is a key program through which our organization carries out its mission. With more than 60 TRN associations throughout the United States, we've developed a strong network of skilled volunteer therapists ready to serve their community when disaster strikes. And I can tell you that Sharon was called upon to do just that recently, and we'll talk about that later. Today, we'll hear from Sharon about the work being done by the Greater Chicago TRN. Sharon, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So can you tell listeners more about the Greater Chicago TRN? How was the TRN formed back in 2016? And what's the mission and role you serve in the TRN?
So back in about 2016, I learned about HAP's TRNs and specifically about how the Connecticut members responded to the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. And at that time, I thought, what a great idea to have a group of therapists ready to go in case of, you know, some kind of emergency or disaster. We had had a school shooting when I was coming out of graduate school back in the late 80s, one of the first school shootings in Winnetka. But while it wasn't in the front of my mind that that was going to, you know, happen anytime soon here. And, you know, while we were sort of thinking about that, the gun violence in Chicago was really on the rise and increasing. And I was touched by that because I was working in a very high risk, low resource neighborhood in Chicago called Inglewood. And so I met a lot of people who were personally touched by the gun violence. And I thought, you know, why just have this group of highly trained therapists sitting there waiting for a disaster when, you know, we had one in Chicago with this gun violence in these really low resource neighborhoods that really could benefit from EMDR the most. And how, you know, the PTSD related to the gun violence was sort of this generational thing happening that was just, you know, PTSD often causes more PTSD, right? You know, with
absolutely
traumatized parents and things like that. So anyway, that was my idea. And I was talking to Robert Manrique and Dr. Tim Hull about it. And they're like, let's do it. And so we did. And our mission statement was providing EMDR to survivors of gun violence and man-made or natural disasters in the greater Chicago area.
So actually, the shootings motivated you to get involved, seeing how you could help with mitigating some of the PTSD and other negative mental health outcomes from that kind of event happening in Chicago.
Yes.
Right now, you have over 25 members. How have you grown your membership, and what are the reasons you see for members getting involved?
You know, at first it was a challenge getting members. People just didn't want to commit. A lot of people said, yeah, you know, I'll sit on the membership in case of some kind of really big mass disaster, but I can't take cases regularly. And then the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, really took force. And you know, more and more high profile shootings of people of color And I think that really motivated people to want to help. And so we saw an increase, you know, after George Floyd shooting in membership. But then it was really after the Highland Park shooting that our membership jumped.
Yeah, it's a very tragic event that happened in last July. And you responded. Can you walk us through that response?
Yeah, it was July 4th weekend. So it was actually on July 4th, I was myself was recovering from COVID. And my stepdaughter is a journalist. So I learned about it as it was happening in Highland Park. And I had an office for several years in Highland Park and raised my own children in the town that borders it. You know, I learned about it, the town was and the surrounding area was all on lockdown because the shooter was still at large. And I thought, wow, what are we going to do? And I'm sick and I can't leave the house. And I got on the phone and I just started texting and calling my TRN members to see, make notes of who was going to be available should the response be needed. I wish, thinking back now, like, okay, I need to form a group text because I was doing it all individually. And I was shocked at how many therapists had COVID. It wasn't just me. So I lost quite a bit of, people who would normally be very active who were also sick. And then because it was a vacation weekend, a lot of people were out of town. But I had a core group of a few people who were willing to drop everything and go, and other people who said they would do work by video. And the next day I tested negative. I had shot out a bunch of emails I had learned on the news that Highland Park High School was going to be open as a resource center. And I shot out an email to the senior social worker there. And actually got in my car the next day and just headed out there. And I did get a response as I was parking from her and met her inside. And I'm glad I went. That was very helpful. And then I was able to reach out to other EMDR therapists and just say, just come on over. And we were a part of that response at the high school. I think the first week was the most important. And we had growing numbers every day.
Growing numbers of
therapists, of EMDR therapists every day. Yeah.
And how did you say the community was most affected? And you mentioned you engaged with the community through the high school. Were there other ways in which you engaged with the community?
I have a website for the TRN. And so some people found me through there, both EMDR therapists that didn't know about the TRN originally, who said, how can I help? And community members. So that was one way. And then I would refer them to therapists, mostly working online. But yeah, the high school was a great idea. I mean, it was summer, so it was closed. It was set up well for security. People were dropping off all kinds of items, stuffed animals. They brought in therapy dogs to the high school, which was so effective with the children. I don't know why in my head I wasn't thinking children. I was thinking more adults. But a lot of adults were sort of putting up that strong front and bringing in their children for support and help.
So you really help both families, both children and parents, yep. As well as others in the community.
So and I really urged the parents when they would come in focused on their children, we would hand them literature and resources and kind of whisper to them, please, get support for yourself also.
Right. Sort of put, make sure you take care of yourself too, so you can take care of others, most particularly your children.
Right.
That's a great suggestion. I think it works really well.
We also, I was on a list at one of the big hospital networks in the area. Mm-hmm. And we also received referrals through them.
Have you seen that activity continue over time?
Not so much, because I think that people are just going directly now on their own. They, you know, a lot of Highland Park, you know, have people are working and they have insurance and they have resources. And I think they, you know, we help get the word out about EMDR. There's no doubt. I mean, it was nice to feel really valued by the psychologists at the hospital and the social workers at the school as this is an important response. And I think people found EMDR therapists on their own and sought out treatment, those that needed it, through their insurance.
And that's exactly what we want. We want people to get the treatment that they need post-disaster. And you started it and they found a way to continue it. That's great.
Yeah, a lot of therapists and school therapists who were out for the summer showed up at the high school and they were so well-meaning, but not really equipped. You know, the lead social worker handed out a SUD scale in this room that all the therapists were sitting in. And I thought that was great. Oh, a SUD scale, you know, and she showed it to everyone and she explained our goal is to have the SUD go down by 1 point for everybody we talk to. I think my mouth just was hanging open because, you know, 1 point, I'm like, surely we can do a lot better than 1 point. But that for them was all they, you know, they could do with just having an ear, right? An empathic ear, and some psychoeducation. But the EMDR therapists saw incredible results and I did too myself.
Yeah, so, do you have an example of something you might want to share? Some sort of healing experience that you might want to share?
Again, I think I walked in not really prepared for children and I hadn't been working with children directly for a while. And I kind of pulled out of my head something. And I wish I could give credit to whoever comes up with these things. I know Roy Kiesling did a free little YouTube video online where I picked it up called Scribble It Out, which is an art therapy EMDR tool. And I used that with two little kids, siblings who came in, a brother and a sister. I think they were somewhere around 5 and 6 and 8 or 9. And the little girl was glued to her mother, couldn't sleep alone and couldn't leave her mother's side. And her image was standing at the parade alone, right, with the shooter. And she had this, you know, fear while they were trying to get out of the parade site of being separated from her mother because it was so chaotic. And she was kind of stuck in that. And we went through the whole scribble it out sequence. And in the end, she said she drew a picture of her holding her mother's hand and, you know, I'm safe now. And, oh, it just felt so good, you know. And then she looks up at me and she says, but what if it happens again?
Oh.
And I just, and her mother, the tears, you could see kind of brimming the eyes. And I was stuck for a second because I couldn't promise her that it wasn't going to, right? And her mother reached across the table and held her hand and said, and I'm going to be right there again, just like I was. And it was so beautiful. And she just smiled and that was all she needed.
Right. You must have felt so gratified that you could make a difference. And it just shares
how to go from, you know, a 10 to a 0 is really incredible. There were two adults of all the people I saw, and we saw a lot of people that didn't go down more than a point. And both, and I really learned something from that because both of them on the way out mentioned that they were in the school with the Lori Dan shooting as children in Winnetka. Both of them, the only two people who did not really seem to benefit. And that really, I mean, you know, you're in a crisis situation, you're seeing all these people in and out, you're not doing a full assessment that you would in an office, right? Mm-hmm. You're not doing scope back with the recent event protocol. So I missed it. But, you know, they were able to see how EMDR worked. And I, you know, told them this is that you need to process that first. With the woman, I said, you need to process the Lori Dan shooting. She put her hands over the ears and she said, I can't hear that name even to this day. Which so really showed me that she's still stuck there, you know? So that was really, that'll stay with me.
Right, because you realize that you can makes such a difference in so many people's lives. But sometimes if an existing or trauma has not been addressed, it, particularly if it's a similar situation, the person will be triggered right back to what that was.
Exactly.
So it speaks all the more to why, how important the work you were doing is and was, because you are the people that, like that little girl, she doesn't have that experience and she can process it and go from down to a zero, you know, and that's what we're hoping for. We can't. Yeah. So based on your, and I think that you've shared a little bit of this, but why do you think that what you do, the TRNs, are important for community mental health?
You know, yeah, I think when we talk about, you know, treating PTSD, you know, the research that now tells us that the sooner you treat the trauma, you're actually preventing PTSD. And I
right.
think that's kind of where we need to be now, to think about, you know, prevention as treatment. And because people walking around with PTSD, we know that it's just contributing to this, you know, generational trauma. So that's kind of where I'm at, is let's help these people before these memories are negatively consolidated and avoid all that.
Yeah, and you were talking about a situation where they had been negatively consolidated. And
right.
So how important it is that we get to as many people as possible.
And in that moment, like over time, people can find their resources. But in that moment, right after those couple of weeks right after, they can't. It's hard for them to even mobilize at all. And a lot of them were even afraid to leave their house. And so to be right there in the community and really easily accessible and able to see a large amount of people, I think was very helpful.
And I think that's our goal, to see how we can help as many people within a short period of time to, if you will, help to the extent possible, prevent the full-blown PTSD later on and the unconsolidated and the consolidated negative, impact. So it seems as if you've had some amazingly interesting and significant experiences from all this. Is there anything else you'd want to share about all this before we wrap up?
I think that one missing piece are the first responders. And so, you know, through the gun violence, you know, the three major disasters we've dealt with in Chicago, right? The gun violence, the COVID response from the doctors and nurses and people in the hospital, and even Highland Park, in order for them to do their work effectively, they need help and support. And they're hard to reach, especially the doctors during COVID. That was a big challenge. They don't want, you know, they're to look weak, you know. And so there's a lot of sort of discretion and confidentiality, reassurance and things like that around there. But I would like to really, I think the TRNs also need to be able to provide that support to first responders so that they can continue to do their work effectively. We work with Chicago Survivors, which is an organization that supports victims of gun violence in Chicago. They're on the scene immediately when at a shooting. They help arrange for blood cleanup from the, you know, at the homes. They go accompany family to morgues. They, you know, they're just really in it, and they visit the families in their homes for a period of time after the shooting. And I worked with one staff member that really was about to quit. She was thinking what else she could do. She had had it, and she had just had a very, very dangerous situation where she was confronted with somebody with a gun as she was visiting a home.
Wow.
And we processed that. It only took about, I think, 3, maybe 4 sessions. And it was just really, just went really well. And, you know, you can see that energy kind of come back. And that felt good because, you know, we can't be out there in the street. Most of us are not going to be in those neighborhoods at that time of night. That's just not our work. But if we can help other people do it, that felt good. So
I would imagine. And that's a group that you could continue to work with, because they're going to continue to need you.
So I think that this TRNs, that's should be part of our mission also, is to support first responders.
And we've found that other TRNs will identify a group that they provide ongoing services to, just help them out, most particularly after there's some, some tragedy that they're dealing with. So that's wonderful, Sharon. That sounds like you have plenty to do, that's for sure.
Yes.
And I wanted to thank you so much for your incredible work, what you're doing as a coordinator of the Greater Chicago TRN. I want to congratulate all the TRN members for the difference that they are making in their communities, and most particularly the Chicago area for your TRN members. And I also want to thank you for taking the time to share about your experience and your work in Chicago. You've been, since 2016, you've been a passionate and conscientious coordinator of the Greater Chicago TRN, and I'm forever grateful. And
thank you. And thanks to the support during all that, and sending flyers and brochures, you know, at the last minute, and it felt good and it felt very supportive. So,
well, I'm glad you felt supported, and if we can do more to help you and the other TRN members, we're looking for ways to help. And I was going to say to others, if you're a trained EMDR therapist looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community, we encourage you to join your local TRN association. And you can also join us, our very first conference coming up in April in Garden Grove, California, which is focused on building community response and recovery. So you can get more information about that on our website, www.emdrhap.org. Or just email us at volunteer@emdrhap.org. We'd love to hear from you, because you can make a difference just like Sharon did in your community. We'd love to have you join us. So thank you, Sharon, and have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks for listening to What's Happening Behind the Scenes with Trauma Recovery. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Find our latest episode and more on our website, www.emdrhap.org. I'm your host, Carol Martin. Thanks, and see you next time.